Met a ghost of a king on the road when I first fell. Fire burning to my knees, I fell. Met a ghost of a king on the road.
Okay, welcome to Sassafras.
You just had an episode yesterday, but
we did. We're recording back to back.
Another one today.
Another one today. And we might, I don't know, do we probably drop this one first?
Yeah. Well, great. We dropped one yesterday. Well, yes, this one's coming out today.
Yeah, we'll drop a special Sassafras episode. Let's call this the Columbia edition.
Hold on one second. Maybe I got my recess covered.
Brian might have to leave to go be a recess monitor.
Hey.
Well, he does perfect. That. Good.
All right. That's great. Thanks, son. Okay, bye.
Our all theme right. quote. Theme quote today.
I don't have to leave anymore.
Good. Okay. Theme quote from Daniel on Fire. Because okay. One of the things that's been blowing up in my hilarious DMs are journalists wanting like parenting tips, which is funny. So
the parent
just wanting like, okay, so this is your son,
right?
And I guess we should do background.
Yeah, we need let's, to. Let's, I was going to say,
let's
hold
do
on.
Some, let's do some background. We got to get into it. But the theme quote is sometimes standing against evil is more important than defeating it. The greatest heroes stand because it is right to do so, not because they believe they will walk away with their lives. Which is a Dandelion Fire. From Dandelion Fire.
Very apropos.
Sometimes standing against evil is more important than defeating it. So last night, it was like, I don't know, almost midnight. I was at my desk working, and my son texts from Columbia. Saw a couple of pictures and a couple of images of just chaos of him and his friend Charles trying to face down a mob outside a Columbia building.
Hamilton Hall, right?
Yeah, and Rory's comment was, things got crazy. It's really funny. It's very simple.
This like, will be Rory to
I actually, tea, I actually, so everybody can get to know Rory a little bit. If they haven't seen his big smile and already on social media, this is... I need to actually find this.
So if you're on Twitter, then I'm sure you saw that video.
Yeah, it's kind of everywhere of the boys.
Two boys standing against a sea of people wearing chemogs, masks, hoods.
Yep.
And generally being cheerful and calm in the face of people shouting 5, 6, 7, 8 Palestinians. Oh, sorry. Not Israel is really great. The opposite. They're actually shouting 5, 6, 7, 8 Israel is a terrorist state. Free, yeah. free Palestine from the river to the sea. Yep. All kinds of stuff. Children's chants.
Yeah, it's just. Rory said he didn't know how long it was. How long it took? He's like, I time got weird.
Time got.
It was hectic. Like how long that was.
Because he's just standing against a door. Just, well, it wasn't just that. Off.
So what ended up happening is, Rory was asleep, and this is kind of and he texted us. So really late night text. We get a text, and he's like, "Man, things got crazy. I'll tell you more tomorrow. Like, here's a couple pics." And Charles, his friend, got carried away, like physically carried away, and we're like, "Okay." And he's just like, "I'm going to bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow." And no, this is just before midnight. And so his mom jumps on Twitter and Rory is everywhere on Twitter. It's like, because we got this, like, yeah, stuff was weird. I'll fill you in later. Text. And it's almost 3 a.m. his time. And then it's Rory all over the place and Rory and his friend Charles trying to hold this door against this whole mob. And what had actually happened is that Rory was asleep. And his political society, like group text started blowing up and all these agitators and protesters were breaking into the campus. So the campus is gated, Morningside Heights closed to everybody who's not a student. You have to have an ID to get in, except for the exterior buildings. People were scaling walls and breaking into the dorm windows and going through
cat burglars.
Yeah. Going through the dorms and coming out into the quad. And a bunch of, you know, Antifa type and Muslim protesters were breaking into the campus and all Rory's friends were like, whoa, this is crazy. And kind of bustling. And then a couple of them woke Rory up and told him what was happening. And So he went down there with a lot of them, and a lot of them were down there kind of observing. And what they were doing is the organizers had everybody forming these human chains to prevent anyone from approaching the building who was not one of them. And so they had rings of human chains surrounding the building that they were going to take. Like, you know, think people with a battering ram, you know, it's like where they have their shields and those old period pieces, they're moving up to the doors.
Right.
So they, to prevent anybody else from getting to the building, they have these human chains, and they were moving these big, huge iron tables like the crowd was to like barricade the door. And so Rory and his buddy Charles just kind of like forced their way through the human chains with the table and got all the way to the inside, and the tables were getting put up against there, and then they got in between the tables and the doors, and they kind of like wedged themselves.
So the protesters were trying to block off the hall with the Hamilton house with tables and barricades and stuff.
And for themselves first. So they created these human chains first, and then they were trying to create a physical barricade. And so they forced their way through the human chains and then got into the front and then took control of the door and faced down the mob from there. And they rode it out for a while.
Because they called police at that time in Columbia Security, right? Yeah,
so they were like, they got to the door, they protected the door of this, because there were people inside this building too. And so they were holding the door so they couldn't take the, because these are not, I mean, there were students involved. There's a lot of students involved, but it's not student led. The students of Columbia who were involved last night were being steered by professionals. And by some persons of interest who've been banned from campus before, but they were being steered but there were a lot of students involved.
Right.
And so Rory and his friend Charles, which is incidentally, I love this picture. We're Jewish. Rory's more Jewish than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Jewish on both sides of his family. So we have a little bit on my side and then a lot on his mom's side. But he's very much a Scottish Presbyterian, which is a dangerous combination in terms of intelligence, but also stubbornness and like
just orneriness.
Yeah, good luck. So he's the Jewish kid, and there's a lot of stuff all over Twitter about Jewish students getting assaulted. True enough in his case, but not in his friends, who was just a Catholic kid, you know, one of his Catholic friends. And I love that here's this Protestant Presbyterian and this Catholic facing down this mob together. I like that a lot. You know, it's like it was a very ecumenical moment at the doors.
Right.
The doors
outside,
facing.
You have people chanting songs in Arabic and hanging Intifada flags from Columbia's buildings.
Correct.
Talking, I assume, about shaking off Israel.
Oh, yeah.
From
death to Israel,
et cetera. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
And then inside we've got.
Yeah. And so my son is Jewish, but very, very, very much a Christian, obviously, always has been, and generationally a Christian way back. And is, you know, his Jewish grandfather, who was one of these agitators in his own time, also a Christian. Yeah. It's like it's very
now,
Jewish.
Now, right.
Yeah. Very Jewish, very Christian, and has been since since Jesus' revolution.
Right.
So, very Jewish, very Christian. And it was a wild, wild, wild night.
Did Rory tell you what he decided to do, or when he realized, hey, the police and the campus security are not coming?
There's a bunch of pictures from the mob. And actually, there's the way it ended was his friend got carried away, like physically.
Yeah, I saw they bodily, like,
they
wormed
physically
their way.
They picked him up and ended up like carrying him away. They weren't able to do that with Rory, but one of his friends is a Syrian Christian. And as it was escalating, when the cops weren't coming and security wasn't coming, like this was Rory's own 13 hours. You know, this is like, okay, he's here holding this against hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And some very bad actors as well. Mm. This is not just against his fellow students. This is some very bad actors. His buddy, who is a Syrian Christian, was really, really wanting to get him out, and was even like negotiating with the crowd, like with some of the psychos in the crowd, because what he said is he knows and his family knows like what was going to happen and where this was going to go. You know, just like in terms of how bad it gets when you have a Muslim mob.
Well, what felt like when you watch the video, you can't see a ton, but you feel that moment of Rory and Charles
yeah.
being very careful not yeah. to hit, shove,
yeah.
or punch anybody, because there's yeah. that moment of like conflagration where it's like, if anybody hits, this is about to get
yeah. and they and window and it did get violent. Like it got all the way there, and they were throwing tables through windows, et cetera.
Right, smashing like, windows with hammers.
Yeah, yeah no, it got to that level,
but
it's one of those things. So one of his buddies kind of talked him out, like when it was clear that basically Christian kids got Rory out of there.
Yeah,
at the end, when it was clear that campus security had no intention of responding,
right?
Like they were just going to leave him.
Didn't the president of Colombia say this morning, I can't resolve this? Like, yeah, there's some sort of level of like,
there's some weird statements.
Just hands up of an.
I texted when at the end, right when we were finally going to try to actually sleep, but there was a lot of adrenaline. He'd been, you know, was being followed. They were being followed as they left. Like, they were not, the safety thing did not like just come right back. you know, it's like, you know, they were being followed by a car on the street when they were, you know, it's like they were getting marked pretty thoroughly. Mm. And the fact is that it's not a thing. I don't think anybody thinks that Colombia can resolve this. They don't have the backbone to resolve this. They don't have as much backbone as two random kids.
Right.
Who wanted to protect a building, mm-hmm. you know, from these agitators. But it is.
And the agitators are trying to get inside to basically shut down Colombia, I guess.
Yeah, they're trying to take. They're trying just to take hostages. Stuff. They're gonna take hostages, whether it's buildings or whatever. They're trying to entrench, so they know this ticking clock of graduation, commencement's coming. The quad's gonna like Columbia. In order to do what they do for commencement and everything else, they have to clear this quad.
And Hamilton Hall is like the head, like it's Columbia itself, right?
Yeah, no, Columbia is small too, right? So it's not a big campus. It's a very urban campus. They needed to get one. They needed to put a root down and make themselves harder to pry out. And just being intense in the grass is insufficient. They needed, you know, bricks and mortar.
Mm.
So I don't think it much matters which building, right. You know.
Gotcha.
I think they would.
So then they just smashed windows and used the bike locks to close doors.
Yeah.
So that basically you're not getting us out before graduation.
Yeah. So they're bunkered down. And we'll see how long they actually last, because graduation's a little ways away. But the thing that the pain point for Columbia is ultimately these things they have scheduled, you know, that are coming, dignitaries and commencement and everything.
Right.
But I told Rory as he was passing out, I was like, so this was your actual graduation. This was your graduation ceremony.
This was to find out if your son
learned. And this is why we sent him. I mean, like, people want to know, like, why would you send him to a school like that? And I was like, well, I mean, what am I trying to raise here? Where do you work out your contramundum muscles? I mean, like, that's what do you like? It's like, how do you do that? He needs this, and it's he's done a great job. And so from pre-Columbia facing down masked bullies, you know, it was just this month that his criminal case, where he's being prosecuted by city of Moscow, which we've appealed, and now that appeal is being opposed by Raul Labrador and the Attorney General's office of Idaho.
So
back home in his home state, his hometown and his home state are both fighting him as an individual, trying to uphold a conviction of his for protesting illegal arrests during COVID by other masked bullies. So there's been a 3-year-long brawl there, and his case just went through the Idaho Court of Appeals this month. And it's not a surprise at all that he's out there standing at a door facing down more masked bullies. You know, it's not weird, but it is definitely an amplification. It's a growth. So that's kind of his graduation. Mm. But for his contramundum muscles, at least, if not his physical safety and everything else, which Columbia has pretty frivolously ignored. I mean, like, kind of wildly. And I would expect us to be involved in yet another legal action, Brian. yet another one.
SAS people get used to hearing about this one, because
it could take a minute. So it's funny that his criminal case out here where his antagonists are his hometown and his home state, while he's now out there.
Well, for Idaho people, fighting New Yorkers makes a lot more sense. So yeah, I'm glad
they're not even really New Yorkers.
That's right. I guess yeah. They don't even speak our language.
Yeah, some of them do. My wife's favorite. She was so thrilled last night. But my wife's, because that's the kind of mom she is. She was really thrilled with this one kind of haggard professional protester lady who's like the grandmother of. She's just like a boomer, you know, boomer agitator's been doing this forever. Who's just standing there. Just being mad at these boys. Just being like, just documenting them being assholes.
Right.
Like just going at them.
And the she's thing, criticizing Rory and Charles for standing in the way.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole crowd.
Yeah. She's this scoldy white liberal woman scolding them on behalf of this violent crowd. And one of the things that's just so great about this. And this is why you stand, incidentally, if we're going to unpack how this works.
Yeah, we should. But first, you should refresh the Dandelion Fire quote, because if that's our theme, that's this.
Yeah, it's more sometimes important standing against evil is more important than defeating it.
Right. So Rory did not stop these guys from getting into the
building. The greatest heroes stand against evil because it is right to do so, not because they think they're going to survive. Like, you do the right thing. You take the right stand. You get in there. You're not doing a calculus of personal benefit.
Right.
You know, it's like this. That's what you're not doing. So Rory in this situation, the thing I love about it, and if we break down all of this, is that the protesters have been successfully and very carefully cultivating an underdog position,
right,
and underdog sympathy against the institution, the man, Columbia, the NYPD, and all this kind of stuff. They've managed to maintain, well, a bunch of conservatives are like those idiots, you know. But the right. Columbia protesters have very carefully, and this is what Hamas does too against Israel. They want to be destroyed. They want to prevent their citizens from evacuating. They want civilian casualties because it gives them the exact position they have in the world right now, which is poor us, global sympathy, and disrupting any Middle East peace treaties that were, you know, Trump legacies. So it's not like Saudi Arabia can be friends with Israel right now because of what Hamas has successfully done.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to be victims. And they did this amazingly egregious act of aggression and violence, and they're still holding hostages while successfully trying to generate this victim posture.
Right.
The protesters have been doing the same thing where they've been occupying a quad and, you know, disrupting and destroying a lot of things. And trying to maintain very carefully this underdog story, and because it triggers sympathy. And so they are sympathetic against Colombia. They are sympathetic when people look from outside, they don't have sympathy for Colombia. They don't have sympathy for the NYPD. They don't have sympathy for the man.
Right.
They have sympathy for those poor dummies in the quad, you know, downtrodden. Well, that just flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Like as of last night, they just lost that because of Rory and Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went viral because it's now the mob against two students. You know, like two guys who stood at a door. That's the story now. They're no longer the underdogs. They're now the bullies, which they actually were. And it was bully on bully crime for a while. I mean, like when Rory went out there, he was fighting Columbia and resisting Columbia on the vaccine and on masks and, you know, et cetera. Now he's out there defending a building when Columbia won't, you know?
Right.
And so everything kind of swirls. But the fact that he and Charles stood there and refused to back down and failed, like, well, they failed what? They failed to keep the door, to hold the door against thousands of people.
That was never going
They were never going to hold the door against thousands of people. They were never going to succeed. That was not the fight.
Right.
Like, what the fight was they stood against evil.
Yeah, this is a moment when you're crafting a narrative,
right?
And the idea of protesters chaining themselves to a tree so the tree can't be cut down is sort of an old one in our hippie culture.
Yep.
However, protesters attacking two kids in front of a building is quite a different narrative.
Carrying a kid away, who's still holding a book,
right? And you know, two very calm kids. And then to a rabid mob.
And it actually was really great because Rory maintained this ice water thing that we've seen before. We've seen it in a long form film when his cousin was filming him when a cop was threatening to arrest him and Rory was just,
yeah,
like, go for it. You know, it's very calm. His friend Charles was very fiery.
Yeah. Charles was saying, this is assault.
Charles was fired up and he was letting them all know. Charles was letting them all know and all ripped and fiery. You know, he was fired up.
Yeah.
But he wasn't throwing punches.
No. He kept his arms down elbows. Very carefully.
He was not
smart. Yeah. Yeah,
they were not being the ones to provoke the physical violence at all.
Well, your dad, of course, has written Rules for Reformers based on Rules for Radicals. And I just was watching this radical playbook kind of, you know, they're trying to keep it simple, stupid. You know, they're keeping very simple of oppressor versus oppressed. And then it really breaks when you run into somebody who's doing the thing back on you. Right. Yeah. So Rory's standing up for what he believes with courage and good humor, and Charles as well. That right there is actually plays out of what the radical leftists have tried to do to the institutions to get us into this place.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, your dad's point is that we, with Jesus at the heart, are far more better at strategy and bravery and the ability to play the long game in our institutions than these protesters are, who, when you interview them, don't have a clue of what they're actually protesting.
Yep. And that's the, but I will say this, I'll weirdly say, let's defend the protesters for a second. This is kind of what this is. Most of our people don't have a clue either.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's leadership other than there's sheep, and there's leadership in sheep everywhere. And if you go to a sheep in any group, in any crowd, and stick a microphone in their face, they're going to do a terrible job. They're going to do it. So when we had our COVID psalm sings, and the cops illegally arrested people, could you have gone to the middle and found some people who had no clue we had hundreds of people here. Now I think our percentage of people who understood would be higher in that moment, especially.
Sure.
There'd been a lot of education.
Yeah.
But you would still be able to find people.
Yeah. Well, totally.
And there were totally randos from the community and the county who showed up.
Right.
You know, who just, you know, there's one dude who's like, is this an open carry protest? You know,
I was walking past him. He pulled his assault rifle out of the trunk and was like, I'm heading to the protest. And I was like,
who are you?
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
But I mean, my kids are all here.
You're from Idaho, so the rifle didn't stress you out that much.
Right.
But it's still, there's people who get pulled into the magnetism of any crowd. They just have a basic loyalty or sympathy that gets them there. And then they couldn't possibly explain it.
Plus, the level of
ignorance and idiocy in these crowds is high. And I would say it's high on the bell curve. If we had a bell curve of idiocy of crowds, this one would be very high on the bell curve. But it's not to say that all crowds that we're involved with are somehow intelligent through and through.
Well, I've been part of crowds where I was not intelligent. So, you know, we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there.
But to me, this just...
But the whole script got flipped last night. Two kids. And the thing is, I'm grateful that Rory's friend got him out when it was hopeless and it didn't turn into 13 hours actually.
Right.
When it was, you know, cause Rory, there's a lot of pictures of him holding the door on the phone, you know, and he's just on the phone, just calling 911, calling campus security.
Right.
And nothing. And his friend's already been carried off.
Yeah.
You know, like no respondevous, no reaction. So the fact that his buddies were able to get him out of that crowd, when they showed up and got him away, when the authorities who should have shown up and taken over just didn't. And so they lost the building.
I mean, this is an interesting point too. Colombia's eating what it's made.
100%.
You know, it's eating its own slice of pie. So there's like two levels of things.
There's like a whole bunch of like earthy proverbs about exactly this.
Right. This is what they've cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
They've not stood up for the past 100 years.
And I would never expect them to.
Right.
Because this is what they are.
Right. And then so the fact that it feels to me like there's a leadership void in our country. And every time you watch, even someone Rory's age, college senior, step up and take leadership, our whole country is like, it's just watching.
Yeah.
that's what I feel like. And you just want to see that in all the communities around
the world. He also, strangely, so I've mentioned that he's my Francis of Assisi in terms of like animals, right? He always had the ability as a kid to pick up the bird.
Turtles, bees.
Pick up the bird.
Dragonflies.
Dragonflies is one of the most mysterious. Butterflies when he was a toddler. He's that kid. But he's also this kid who lives in the headlines. And he has, since being a teenager, he's just lived in the headlines. And it's really strange because this is, most people get 15 minutes. This is like his second time being viral. For a kid who doesn't have social media, that's pretty good. And I say kid, he's, you know, he's 22, but it's, yeah. He's 22 now, but he's not, he doesn't like, he's not out there. Mm. He's not engaging like his generation is engaging. He feels that he is a time warp. He understands in his peer group and his generation that he came from a bizarre place, from an idyllic place. He had a close personal relationship with his great grandfather and his grandfather and his father. It's like, there's this, it's all weird. It's a really, really unique situation. Mm-hmm. But when he was protesting the arrest, when he was ending up in handcuffs on the sidewalk, when he was facing down cops who perjured themselves, cops who hid evidence, who lied about him, you know, it's like to try to get a criminal conviction. When they lost him his scholarship to Columbia, like significant damages because of a judge who was abusing power, prosecutors mm-hmm. who were abusing discretion, selective prosecution of him as a political enemy, the only one in history before or since who's ever been prosecuted
right.
Well, by the city for this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
the long running joke in Moscow is this, the group there that yeah. you guys started where we
permitted
take,
signs,
where we take pictures of signs all over Moscow yeah. and
permitted signs of
only
Moscow.
One, only
yard
one
sale signs, prosecuted. Everything. Yeah, that's it. Now the, that right there, like, okay, he was in the headlines during COVID. Like he was at the Samsung arrest where, you know, where that happened. He and his brother protested that with their vinyl stickers, Soviet Moscow. They ended up in the media. You know, it's like they had, that story ended up all over the place. You know, it's like, this is just it. Then he got an internship. I kind of wanted to just tweet and be like, okay, so this is Rory's bio. He worked with Matt Taibbi on Twitter Files. He's read the inbox of like Twitter general counsel. He's actually gone through the Slack channel because working for Taibbi and Twitter Files of Fauci's little scientist committee when they were trying to decide whether COVID was a lab originated thing or, you know, wet market. Like he's read through that stuff. He's been like right at the front of headlines in weird ways. And he did it through his job working for Matt Taibbi in the Twitter Files. He lived it in Stickergate. He was at the illegal Samsung arrests. And now he's the kid at the door. And if we wanted to throw in there, be like, oh, his grandfather was on Tucker and Charlie Kirk this week. You know, it's like this kid.
I mean, you also pointed out,
this is the kid.
Rory had his high school graduation shut down by the fire department. Right.
Yeah, our graduation party.
And during COVID. And then also has his looks like having his college graduation shut down by
the mobs.
By the mobs.
Yep. Now this is little mayoral youth council valedictorian Rory. And he does not act the way you think that those kinds of people would or should act. Yeah. When people have like if I was gonna say the sketchy things that parents would be stressed out by, I would say when he was little. And then we did this for his brother too. And we've done this. This is just kind of a thing is if you are at recess and somebody is picking on your sister or somebody is picking on a smaller kid, you handle it. You don't run crying to the authorities. Handle it.
Yeah.
You know, somebody is
handle instead of tattle.
Yeah.
Right.
And know that you'll end up in the principal's office and you're not in trouble. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's like, that happens because. If somebody is bullying a littler kid and you punch him in the throat or the side of the head and tell him to, or if you knock, you tell him to knock it off.
Or, even just a push.
Or I will punch you.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because they always, every little boy will respond with a, or else what? You know, it's like, it's like, or I'll, you know, or I'll punch you. Like, you're going to stop now. Then lay him out. I mean, like, just do it. Just, if you're a little third grade boy, it's important for you to know that when, some fifth grade boy is bullying your first grade sister or being rude to some little kid or shoving a kid off the swings to take them, you step in and you create the situation that the authorities can resolve.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is running off and crying to, you know, Mrs. McElmore, who happens to have recess duty, substituting for Brian Cole.
Because I'm not there right now.
Because Brian's not there right now. Like, running off and getting her, like, that's not the answer.
Well, that reminds me.
Take responsibility for the situation. Step in.
And that's
protect.
That's
stand and protect. Stand and protect. Always instinctively stand and protect. And know you might end up in the principal's office and your parents will high five you.
Yeah.
Because good job.
Assuming this is the way your dad raised you, because it's in Future Men, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, and that story of Theodore Roosevelt, who a kid was fighting at recess, and Teddy says, what happened? Why were you fighting? He says, well, he's picking on my little brother. And Teddy Roosevelt gave him a quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's like, good job.
Well done.
That's when you fight.
And and we've always told our kids, expect the authorities not to have your back, actually.
And that's the one that's been hardest, I think, for me. You know,
expect a pink slip. Expect the principal to say, you shouldn't have done that. You should have gone to Mrs. McElmore. You know,
I think a lot of Americans have had that red pill happen where they're watching, or the red pill is the wrong word. They just, the wisdom of realizing, oh yeah, doctors are humans. They're going to make up studies. Police officers are humans. They're going to lie.
They're going to self-protect.
You know, and just across, you know, politicians are just all liars.
Yep.
So that sort of 2020 to now, that's been the narrative that I think a lot of people are realizing. But at the same time, those weak heads are still, whenever something happens where you can, there's still moments where you can take leadership and do real things that matter, even in your situation.
And in this situation, to actually have, it's so funny. The texts that are showing up are hilarious, right now, but, there's a nurse just texted me from Latah County. I was like, is this your son? He's like, there's a lot of that. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's him.
That's him. And that's his graduation. And we're pumped. We're proud of him. And the thing is that if we'd sent him to Columbia and he learned to keep his head down and blend in, it would have been a complete failure.
Yeah.
Cause that was not what we wanted him to be. And so I love that he was one of the last to find out about it. They had to wake him up to tell him what was happening. And he's the one who ends up at the door. And that's like, okay, this is what you do. So we're extremely proud of him. And this is exactly what we want. And we wouldn't care if they suspended him for it or anything else. Like, just that part doesn't matter. Like, you do the right thing and then the math comes later.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
And it is. I remember as far as examples go, there's only one time that Rory ended up knocking a kid over at recess who was being mean to his little sister. So it only happened once. And he did, in fact, get hauled in and, you know, the getting in trouble with authorities of like, you should go get the recess monitor. And Rory coming home and us saying like, no, it's fine. You ignore that. Like, you don't leave the kid pushing your sister and go. Like, you take a stand now. You go now. And then they'll show up. Like,
well, this is
if they're going to.
These are more rules that your dad has from Rules for Reformers, but conservatives should be moving from concrete to abstract. And there's nothing more concrete than standing up to a bully. You know, you can think about how to win a legal case later. You can think about whether this is going to affect your graduation, but the concrete to abstract move is how we all need to be thinking of, like, where are we? Stop getting in your head about, is this, wait, am I accidentally defending the higher education system that hates me? You know, that sort of, I've watched some on Twitter doing that. And no, that's not the point. Do you see the video?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when the mob is right there?
And incidentally, back to the ignorant group, Rory's had a ton of conversations with these guys, like with the actual student protesters. And there's been a bunch of that. And he got pretty bored of it because there was no conversation to be had. There's no intelligent discussion. And the things there, why are they angry at Columbia? Like, what are you doing at Columbia because of you're unhappy with Israel in Gaza?
So hanging,
they have money. They have money in their endowment invested in Google and Microsoft. Those are Jew companies. It's like that. It's like that level of crazy. You know, it's like
I assume their offices, board of directors has.
They have
has
offices in Israel. They've got got Israeli engineers. They've got some board of directors. But Microsoft and Google are too Jewish for this crowd. And Columbia has money in an endowment that has invested in that fund. The whole hedge fund has shares in Microsoft and Google. Of course they do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big things. That's one of their talking points out there in the crowd.
Well, again, divest. It's Alinsky level. I mean, it's like, how can we make this simple? Well, they're connected. Look, Colombia has money, you know, connected with the bad guys. Yep. That's the level of dialogue that I'm assuming also.
And think about when you change a narrative. We've seen this here multiple times. We've seen this with Salmzing arrest. We've seen this with Stickergate. We've seen this now out there. When some people stand up, it's the standing up that is the victory.
Yeah.
It's like to stand up when there is no chance of winning the door. Rory had no chance of protecting the building by himself, and ultimately didn't care that much about the building. Colombia's getting their own harvest, right?
Right.
They're gonna eat their own cooking.
Yep.
But what these people are doing in front of him right now is wrong. It's wrongheaded. This is foolishness and evil, and this is escalation. It's going to get bad. And, you know, it's like by instinctively doing what they did, he and Charles changed this narrative on a large scale. Like this narrative is now pivoted with the protesters, and this is baked in. And while mainstream media, a lot of it is in my DMs and Heather's DMs and trying to get Rory's contact information, they're all trying to do interviews and stories and stuff that's happening. They're also trying to make it about the taking of the building and the poor downtrodden protesters resisting the admin's deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying really hard to avoid this whole incident at the door. Some of them are really, really coming at me. And it's funny, like when different journalists are reaching out to try to tell a story and you do a quick survey of like, quick Google of who they are and what their recent stories are, you're like, oh, okay, so this is going to be a hit piece on Rory and Charles. They need to
Right. That's what I was going
to. They need to take them out the useful and attack part their credibility.
Is,
and,
as much as this is a moment, you know, as much as this has shifted momentum in a moment, there's also going to be the counter shift and they're going to push a particular agenda. So I was going to say, what's the counter agenda going to be for this story? Is it ignore or is it going to be.
Ignore is easiest.
Is it, or is it going to be these are tools of the regime?
Zionists. It depends. It depends on. It depends on how big the story gets.
Right.
So if it does a little blip, it's viral today, like bloop, and moves on.
Yeah, just on Twitter.
Yeah. You know. It's like if it does that, they can ignore. If it builds, if it grows, it becomes a bigger part of the Colombia protest narrative, then they're going to have to attack.
So you reporters out there, go ahead and make it a piece.
Yep. There's some interesting audio and some of the footage that Rory has shared in terms of some of the things that get... said, it appears that one of the professional protesters already knows who Rory is and makes a comment about already following him from afar, that kind of thing. Like there's a and then they were following him
spooky.
They were following him back through there goes an alarm. I don't know what that was for. Following probably to end this podcast and take a call or something, but we'll find out later. Following him through campus, you know, rolling on the street next to him, like the dude's all in black and masked. That's a little unnerving. When the cops all decide to not come, they leave you with thousands of those people.
That's the costume of the good guys when you're all masked in black.
Yeah. And when I say those people, what do I mean by those people? I mean people who are wearing masks to commit crimes.
Yeah. People who are breaking the windows.
Yeah, exactly.
And bike locking doors.
Yep. And it's funny though, because it is not different than Jan 6 in terms of
we're about to get
so it isn't.
No, it's the same.
It's the same.
It's actually worse, to be honest. Yeah.
It's the same. But the mechanisms of it, the chemistry of the crowd is the same, and that there are agitators at the front. There are people leading and saying, this is the way, and doing these things. And some of them are false actors.
Yeah.
In the Jan 6 situation, they wanted them to lose their to become criminals.
A bait situation.
We need you. We need you to become criminals.
Break the law.
And so this is kind of like people would have loved for Rory to throw a shove or a punch. And that all would have gone up in smoke in a heartbeat. He would have been beaten to a pulp. You know, it's like.
And the story would have been.
They defended themselves.
He hit first. Yeah.
That's how it would have gone. But the agitators who are being the ones who are playing brinksmanship and provoking and leading, and then all the sheep behind, some of whom in that crowd are probably good kids. In fact, I know there were a bunch of good kids, a bunch of them there filming. and many of them posting on Twitter about really appreciating Rory and Charles, or, you know, right. like these guys, but they weren't up there linking arms with them. They weren't,
yeah,
you know, it's like they were doing their thing, and some of them I wouldn't expect them to. You're talking about, you know, vulnerable girls and
also,
stuff.
Yeah, it
like
depends on your gender as
yeah,
well.
And, yeah. But there's guys who absolutely should have been up there. Like they should have been up there. The fact that it ended up being two and then one as that one was carried off, you know, it's like, this is like, are there really in this crowd? There's no other good guys on Rory's side. I guarantee you there's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Although it is the trick of crowds.
Who were also,
it is the trick of yeah. crowds to go at midnight when a lot of the good kids did go to
midnight. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Exactly. But this is sort of that Columbia graduation. And I am pleased to report we've taken Rory's temperature and have discovered that he has not learned how to keep his head down and behave. He is still badly behaved when it comes to this kind of moment, and we couldn't be more proud.
That's great.
And he's cut right out of his grandfather's cloth. The ability to, like, if anybody's yeah. watched the Bloomington videos, the ability to face a crowd and still be breaking a big old smile.
Yeah, I mean, just running through the rules for reformers.
Yep.
We must be combative. We must have a high sense of humor.
Yep, and I would actually, I'd say this is together. Probably, there's a bunch of people that would agree with us politically and theologically on social media who I think are losing.
Right.
Because they are shrill, yep. because they're outrage factories, because they're constantly mm-hmm. squeaky and upset instead of having a peace that they're here.
Right.
They're here for this moment, that God made them for this moment, that this is the moment gift wrapped to you. And part of the test of right. that moment is for you not to lose your mind and freak out, but actually to stay calm and yeah. joyful and do the right thing and make the right choices in that narrative. Don't
sheep
freak
sense,
out.
Sheep sense nervousness yes. and the reactivity of those crowds, you know,
yep.
the people who yeah. just cannot do anything but react.
There's a chemistry in it. There's a static electricity in it, right. and it's going to cause people to react different ways. And I think that the goal for a bunch of people who, let alone, aren't standing in that mob, staying calm. They can't even stay calm just having a Twitter handle. Like, having a Twitter handle is too hot for them to handle, and they're losing their minds and they're tweeting mayhem. Like, just go do something productive. The thing that I love about, one of the many things I love about Rory, is that he doesn't care about social media. Like, yeah. he's not, like, he didn't do this for likes.
Imagine if Rory had been standing there live streaming while he held the door.
Yeah, and his generation, his generation would have been fine with that. And right. I love that he's not. I love that he didn't just get a ton of followers. I love that that's not what this was for. This wasn't for likes or follows or anything. And this is now the second time in his life he's gone viral without being
yeah.
A social media guy, which is great. It's much better that way. But there's a Twitter handle is too great a temptation for so many conservative Christians for them to be scared, anxious, yeah. upset, shrill, like outraged. Just knock it off.
Yeah, that's another principle too, is the long game works for people who are calm. For protesters, Alinsky style, you've got to keep it,
yeah.
upping it or you die. Power yeah. either grows or it decreases.
Crank the knob,
And you yeah. and right now they don't, I don't think they know where this is going. They're no. just moving on to the next thing. What
just,
can
they're
we
just
ruin?
I think I hashtagged my first tweet with Gen Z tantrums. And that really is like, we're just a kid kicking over sandcastles right now as a nation, just mad, smashing stuff.
Mm.
And it started with tearing down statues and everything else. But we've been in this tantrum for a while, and we're just like, new phase.
Right.
This is how we behave. This is now how we behave whenever right. something upsets us anywhere in the world. We're going to go full tantrum mode.
Did you see the clip of some, I can't remember what might have been a university in Texas, but the cops actually arresting the protesters and dragging them away while the protesters were saying, ow, ow, ow,
ow, ow, ow. You're hurting me.
You're hurting me. And,
but nowhere as deeply as in my feels.
Right. And that sort of difference between what an institution with a little bit of leadership and principles does versus one that's just completely going to yeah. wait and see till the morning what yeah. happened last night.
And there was that recent officer in England who approached a Jew in one of these situations where there's a Jewish guy at a yarmulke on, I think, and they were going to or threatening to arrest him. He at least was in trouble with the police for his Jewish appearance being a provocation in that crowd. Like, that will provoke the crowd. And so if our goal is to not have the crowd lose its mind, it doesn't take long before you're punishing the reasonable people. You know, yep. you're trying to get them. it doesn't, we're 1 or 2 degrees away from cops showing up and arresting Rory, you know, to try to de-escalate, take him away. He's stopping the protesters. Like, right. They're not going to move the protesters.
Out.
Yeah. And this is now, this is the phase of cultural decay we're reaching. Like, we're starting to get there.
Isn't like Kent State pretty deep in our cultural psyche when it comes to universities? You don't think so?
No.
I'm trying.
I don't think anything is deep in our cultural psyche other than
insanity.
Is this good content for my social media? That's really it. And one of the other, so Rory did take some footage, and the amount of people whose phones and cameras are up, and it's like, are you,
right.
is this mob majority amateur documentarians?
What would
happen? Yeah, it's like, is this like, what is this? How many of you are actually on the other side or on my side? And how many of you are just filming? Because you'll get a ton of likes and shares.
I mean, it was hard not to.
I don't blame them for filming. I'm glad they did, that we have that footage. But like the population of the crowd, when I look at the size of the crowd, it's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. He was facing from it when he held his camera up, looking out over that mob is insane.
And the adults in the crowd are the ones with like full on cameras. They're oh yeah, I'm a reporter. I'm not going to help this kid. I'm going to go ahead and take photos.
I'm reporting the situation in case something really bad happens to him.
And then
I need to be here.
I'm about to have a scoop.
Yeah,
but I was also laughing too, because occasionally you'll hear in the audio behind the girl who's filming like a warble of like someone trying to start the free, free, free Palestine chant. And it's just like, it just is funny to listen to them all trying to do, you know, sympathetic rhyming.
Yeah.
All we've got is 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's
2, 4, 6, 8. Idaho's too great for hate.
We appreciate Palestine.
Yes.
But it, you know,
did my brother-in-law famously responded, 1, 3, 5, 7. I like girls. in one of those chant situations.
It was, everyone's just like, it doesn't rhyme.
But it's anyway, in this situation, it was I didn't get much sleep last night. Rory got even less sleep, and it's gonna be a crazy day for him as his phone is blowing up and he's got schoolwork to do, and you know, there's a lot going on. We'll see how much media he talks to.
I
don't know that he'll talk to Chris Cuomo as much as Chris really would like to speak with him.
I mean, doesn't it kind of seem like this is a no-brainer for winning an election? Or Republicans. it's like they restarted the riots and somehow we're still going to fumble the bag. But
we'll say we're going to try.
Yeah.
We're going
to
try.
It's just crazy. It's like, would you like to have more cities burned down? Because we
My lawyer, in our federal action over Stickergate, he's representing a guy who is being charged with terrorism charges. Like 20 years.
Oh, okay.
So legal counsel. He's also representing a guy who's being prosecuted for getting angry and referring to ballot fraud, election fraud, as treason, and for saying that treason is actually like a capital offense, and being mad that a bunch of unsealed ballots that had no chain of custody and like no signatures, et cetera, open containers, were just being dumped into an election. And he was a ballot observer. It was part of his job. He's currently being threatened with 20 years in prison for making terrorist threats, for referring to it as... Yeah. And so we share legal counsel.
This is treason.
Yeah.
Capital punishment.
Yeah. And I'm sure he was hot. He didn't keep his cool, I'm sure.
Mm.
But he's being prosecuted for uttering threats of terrorism.
Right.
And in his role as ballot observer, as he stormed out and slammed the door.
Yeah.
So they're coming after him. And it's like, that's where we live. And conservatives for so long will hope that the judges and the referees and the umpires will be on their side. And they're just not on your side. They're combatants. They're on the battlefield right now. Mm-hmm. And we're getting to a really, really, really weird place. So do I expect us to win on our criminal appeal for Rory Stickergate case? Like, well, honestly, I have no faith in the justice system whatsoever. At every step of the way,
you sound like a protester.
Yeah, at every I am, and at every step of the way, the opposite of something reasonable and lawful has happened, where it's like the clear logic of the situation has had a thumb placed on the scale and steered towards a particular political outcome or political expediency. And that's happened every time. So do I expect that to stop happening? No, I think that's the way the world is. That's just kind of where we are now. And here we are also where two kids can flip a script. And you can do this when you're in, like, an opportunity comes in front of anybody. There's always opportunities that come at unexpected times. Sometimes at 3 a.m. when your friends wake up, you know, wake you up. You can find yourself in a position of needing to stand up, of needing to do something.
Yeah.
And if you really sit there and think about it and overthink it and hang back, you're going to miss the moment. You're going to miss that. You need to be reflexive in your courage and in your willingness to step in and do the right thing.
And at the same time, don't take the bait.
Yeah.
No, because it does.
So I mean, think about this. If you had a guy walk past an alley and saw four dudes, you know, pulling a woman into the shadows, like, should he stop and say, I wonder if I can take them? There's four of them.
That's not the question. Math happens later.
Yeah. Get in there.
The question is,
yeah, like, just,
yeah, help.
Yeah. Get in there now. And it's like, just, we know that. Right. We know that that's the kind of character that you ought to be. And yet we still will reflexively stop and count. And then it's like, well, but you don't understand. If I were to take this stand, I'd lose my job. If I were to do this thing, right, I would lose that promotion. I would not get that prize. I would not get that money. Right. And all you're doing is naming your price.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yep. But so, if a glowing man says, hey, run into the Capitol.
A dude with a, you know, a very fresh, unworn MAGA hat.
You're right.
No sweat lines.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
very clean shaven.
Very clean shaven. Got a badge on.
Right. Says, hey, run into the Capitol.
We got to get in there.
We're taking over the government.
Don't do it. Somebody says, you know, you don't have to pay your income taxes. Pay your income taxes.
Or even, you know, talking about Whitmer. Hey, we should bomb the governor. And it's like, you're just like, oh, it turns out.
Just like, tell your friend, like, just stop.
Right.
Because I also, as a side note, I've also received at least one anti-Semitic text today. From, you know, sort of like, it's fine. Like, I understand. Yeah. Congrats on your son. But like, blah, about the Jews, you know, it's just like, oh, boy. And it's like, you'll never change my mind about the Jews. I was like, I know, because it's not your mind. It's not. If it was a mind thing, it'd be really, really easy, but it's not a mind thing. Yeah. And so, I was like, and why are you texting me this? Like, this, it was just such a random.
It's thing. The perfect example of the meme.
And there's a ton of people.
Nobody says anything.
There's a like, ton of people.
I still hate the Jews.
And that's, yeah, but that's that actually is probably the biggest version right now of, we should go in there, from the feds. Is,
oh,
like,
yeah,
of like the false flag. The Jews are the problem. The Ashkenazi, right, aren't even really Jews. And we also hate them for being Jews.
Yeah. Go check the board of trustees and see how many
Rothschilds there, yeah, were. You know,
are there any Bergs?
You know, let me just say this. As somebody who is, I don't know, 1/16th Ashkenazi. Through my mother's line, though. So I am.
See, I don't even know. I'm just a trailer park kid. I have no idea.
You're a gypsy king, Brian. Right.
Maybe I'm Jewish. Who knows?
You're an Irish traveler. Right. but a Jewish Irish traveler.
Right.
As somebody who, through my mother's line, could go get Israeli citizenship, I could go do that. I just tell people when they want to bark about Ashkenazi, I'm like, the thing is, we're just the best at everything. That's all. That means we're the best at being villains also.
Yeah.
Like, we're just the best. Yeah. So I'll do, if we just assume that.
And if that stings.
Then they're mad.
Neither.
The thing that's funny is that they get offended at me saying that. And I laugh and I'm like, just get over it. Like, it's not like, basically the biggest benefit of being Ashkenazi is like a vulnerability to Crohn's disease and gluten intolerance. So could you just get over it? You know, it's insane. But it is funny that I got one of those. I got one of those texts today, and I'm just like, dude, stop following that crap. I said, I just told him, you need to get off of that, the fever swamp portion of the internet. You need, just need to be out of there. Yeah. Like,
if you're smelling and it smells like fever,
walk away.
Get out.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one of the weird, funny parts of this whole experience. But so yeah. I'm glad your son's brave, but
can't stop shouting.
The Ashkenazi. What does that have to do with a mob trying to break into a building in Colombia over an endowment that has some money in Microsoft and Google? You know, it's absurd. Anyway, Colombia doesn't just have egg on their face. I feel like they're bathing in soft boiled egg at the moment. They're like in a full bath of egg.
Just and, clueless.
And with me and with Charles' family as well right now. And the fact that campus security ignored this and did not respond to this, you know, like when non-students who have no right to broke into a dorm, who broke into campus and are carrying students away from a building.
Those guys should resign. That's pathetic.
It's like that is right there kind of like, I mean,
it's not quite Uvalde.
I'm not shocked, but I'm also shocked.
They should be thankful it doesn't get to Uvalde levels, right? Of like a student being carried away by non-students. And the campus police didn't do anything about it. No campus security.
It's nuts.
That is.
And actually the guy who's up, the dude is up front organizing has been a problem and has been banned from campus already. And was that the
short guy with the mask?
The mask who's trying to weasel behind Charles.
And
he's in all black and he's leading everybody and commanding human chains and stuff. And that guy is trespassing criminally, has been banned from campus. And he's organizing this against a couple students who have a right to be there. And campus security doesn't respond. I would assume the only thing that would make me think they would respond is they understand the bill they're about to have to pay. Like, that's expensive what you're doing right now for the university. Like, it would have been much cheaper if campus security had actually showed up. Right. And then Rory and Charles, you know, were free to leave.
Yeah. But I mean, rather than leaving the students to be assaulted, probably got a pool on whether Rory will have the action against him or that guy whose criminal trespassing will have.
I think it depends on how much media he does, and which media. And I don't know. I know people are hunting him right now, and he's in New York, and I'm out here, and he's busy, so he's still in school. So it's, we'll see. Mm. We'll see how much of a problem he can become, and how big a problem he becomes will affect this. But I'm glad he's not there much longer. This is a great final ceremony and we'll get him out of there.
I saw Rory's brother saying, Colombia looks less appealing.
It was funny that Seamus had received a bunch of Colombia had reached out a number of times trying to get him to come to this prospect camp for basketball recruits. And he got one the same day. It was like the most recent one. They'd reached out again.
Play basketball.
The day that this
infested quad.
Yeah, that his brother is that his brother is sitting there holding it down. But he was pumped. He got home. He had a school event last night that was really late. And he got home late enough that he got to see his brother doing this on Twitter and he was fired up. You know, it's just like, yes.
Yeah.
Like that's his brother. I mean, he was out with his brother doing the stickers. He wrote a hilarious paper about the importance of civil disobedience, just crucifying local prosecutors and cops.
That's how he got out of.
That's how his prosecution ended. And it's like, man, he was feeling itchy. Like he was ready to be there with his brother. So it was pretty great. Anyway, proud day in the Wilson home, and I think one of the most important things is that Rory's mom, that my fantastic wife is a war horse or a war pony, as I sometimes call her. and so that she responded to this by being thrilled with her son and proud of him. Yeah. Not terrified for him.
Right.
You know.
Man, when your family is sticking up for each other and excited and fighting together.
It's great.
And then, that's powerful stuff.
And we're going to go eat and drink and enjoy each other.
Stuff nations are made out of.
Yeah. It definitely makes the long, dark apostasy a lot more tolerable when you've got family to feast with.
Right.
And it also feels the truth of having a table set for you in the presence of your enemies is felt often. It's like that's a powerful thing to have your family and to have that joy and to have all this blessing from God, to have all this abundance that we're able to enjoy together and celebrate together on a weekly basis. And then, you know, to go outside and everybody goes outside and the struggle is real. But that rhythm is glorious. It's a glorious and beautiful rhythm.
Yeah, that's great.
So anyway, we're proud of them. We're going to be out there to celebrate. Columbia has already notified us that there still will be graduation events in scare quotes. And I think that means what? They're going to like us on Twitter. I don't know like what a graduation event
graduation
is.
Graduation event.
I don't, they're no longer assuring regularly scheduled everything. It's just, there's going to be graduation.
If you would like to have a graduation party in New York at Columbia.
We might set something on fire.
Right.
I say that knowing I could be prosecuted for making terrorist threats, but we're all flying out there Rory commence. And I feel like we all just watched him commence last night on Twitter. So
that's a good place to stop.
Anyway, SAS, stand against evil. Even if it's the right thing to do.
Not because you're going to
not
win.
Because you have a calculus of victory. Peace.
That's the life I want. I want to be 70 and have 18 grandchildren. Let's go.
I came from the mud. There's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree. There's roots where I stand.
I'm Tucker Carlson, and I am here with the very famous and highly controversial Pastor Doug Wilson.
Even more controversial.
Try to catch me howling at the moon.